tonight I just want to bring a short little devotional. Now, I've noticed tonight there's been talk. Steve talked about it and Stan talked about it, and there's been discussion. In your discussions, I've heard this key word, encouragement. Encouragement. You probably don't even know you said it, but I heard it, alright? And my little message tonight is called Encourage and Be Encouraged. Encourage and be encouraged. Now, I've got a long reading. It's in Acts 18. So if you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 18, and we'll read verses 1 to 17. It's a long reading, alright? Nobody's going to complain, no way. I reckon you could come to church, a pastor could come to church and just read the Bible on a Sunday, and no one would complain. Would they? We need to read more Bible, actually. More about God and less about ourselves. But anyhow, Acts chapter 18 and verses 1 to 17 says this, starting in verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Why'd they come there? Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. They kicked all the Jews out of Rome, all right? And they came to them. And because he was of the same craft, the same occupation, he abode with them and wrought for by their occupation they were tent makers. So these two people, Aquila anyway, he was a tent maker the same as Paul. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come, that's Timothy, were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. He was all worked up, all right? And testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. He's pointing out that bloke that they killed, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That was Jesus, and he was the Christ, the Saviour, the Redeemer. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I'll go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Lystus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So they're having a good time there, getting people saved. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So 18 months he was there, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. So here comes the persecution, all right? And they said, this fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, listen what Gallio said, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. If it was some secular thing he's up to, right, some lewd thing he's getting into, like maybe homosexuality like's going on today, he might deal with that. But, he said, but if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye into it. Okay? Do it yourself. For I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And what did the law do about it? It says, and Gallio cared for none of those things. He couldn't care less. They beat up that bloke. None of my business. I'll just ignore it. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to get something out of this. I got something out of it for you, all right? Thank you, Lord, for your word written down in words we can understand, Lord, and given to us in the book that you've given us, Lord, the Bible. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to stumble around in darkness wondering what you want us to do, Lord. But we thank you that you've given us everything we need to know about you and everything we need to know about ourselves, Lord. You've given it to us in your word, in the Bible, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We do pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit you'd speak to each person's heart tonight, Lord, And let each one be encouraged, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul's ministry throughout southern Europe had taken its toll on him in body and spirit. Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens had been very difficult cities in which to minister. Paul had been beaten, imprisoned, or driven out of most of these places. While some did come to Christ through his ministry, he often faced great opposition from both Jews and Gentiles. In our passage of Scripture tonight, Paul comes to one of the most difficult cities of all, Corinth. Corinth was known for its rampant paganism, idolatry, and heathen practices. We know from the Scriptures, as well from secular history, that Corinth was a city with a reputation of prostitution, idol worship, gluttony, and intellectual pride. Yet despite the difficulties at Corinth, Paul didn't give up. He didn't quit. He continued to faithfully fulfill God's call upon him, despite discouragement and frustration. In verse 4 of our opening scripture tonight, we see that he stayed in this difficult city and preached the word of God in the synagogue. And in verse 11, it tells us that he prevailed and taught the people there for a year and a half. Even though they tried to get rid of him, he stayed there. Amen? Accomplishing God's will was difficult for Paul, and the same can be true for us. It can be true for us, doing what God wants us to do, all right? Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12 that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we are faithful to God, we too will face trials and tribulations, you might have noticed. Maybe not to the same degree that the Apostle Paul did, but they can cause our flesh and spirit to become exhausted and weak too. Amen? We can get discouraged. Amen? Nevertheless, God did not leave Paul downcast and feeling hopeless, having a pity party, about everything. The Lord didn't leave him there. Just as he doesn't leave us without encouragement when he calls us to serve him. When God calls us to serve him, he's with us if we obey him and walk with him. And he encourages us, eh? Is that right? The focus of Acts chapter 18 centers around the various ways in which God continued to encourage Paul. Just like Paul, when we are called by God to be involved in things that could be difficult, we are to continue to be faithful ministers of Jesus Christ. Even though the entire world, which surrounds us on all sides, is almost wholly committed to serving the flesh and the devil. Everywhere out there is against us. They reckon the world hates us, eh? I'm going to just clarify that a little bit, or qualify it. We haven't had much trouble with the world here in Australia yet. Notice I said yet, but it's coming. And in America, all right? These nations that were founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs are coming under attack. And this saying, the world will hate you, I've had no problem with the world, not really. Well, I have a little bit, but nothing like I've had in the church. I've had more hatred against me from so-called churches than I've had from the world. But this world hatred for us, and it's all around us here, look out, it's coming. And we're here in a state school hall. This state school here is promoting all the stuff that the education department is in teaching to our little kids, all right, in state schools. If you're a Christian parent today, you need to get your little kid out of the state system because they're teaching everything anti-God. Everything anti-God. So, we're surrounded, almost wholly, by the world, the flesh and the devil. As we resist all the temptations coming from the world, the flesh and the devil, we need encouragement from the Lord to stand fast and true with him. But the Lord wants us to be an encouragement as well. He wants us to be an encouragement. Not just him encouraging us, he wants us to be an encouragement as well. Our passage of scripture from Acts 18 tonight shows how God used other people, Christian friends and co-workers, to encourage Paul in the work. In verse 2 and 3, we see Paul's relationship with Aquila and Priscilla. They encouraged Paul by their testimony, and they soon discovered that they shared much in common with Paul. They were Christians, and they too had been persecuted. They had been expelled from Rome because they were Jews. Amen? You're a Jew. Get out of our country. Anti-Semitism is not something new, my friends. As well, we read in verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, Paul was of the same craft, he abode with them. He lived with them and wrought. He worked. lived with them and worked with them for their, by their occupation they were tent makers. Aquila and Priscilla encouraged Paul by their hospitality. Verse 18 says that Paul tarried with them a good while. He lived with them. He tarried with them at their home, alright? They encouraged him by their faithful dedication to the Lord. As Paul laboured together with them, they encouraged him and vice versa. And they were a blessing one to another. And that's what God wants us to be with each other too. God brought them together in his time. Hey, don't think it's an accident that God has brought us together at this time in history. All right? God brought them together in his time and for his purposes. And when Paul departed from Corinth to journey to Syria, Aquila and his wife Priscilla accompanied him. They went with him. Praise the Lord. So we can receive encouragement for ourselves from this account, because God is the one who sovereignly moved all the different circumstances in their lives to have their paths meet and then lead them into ministry together. Amen? You see that in the story? That's what it's all about. And it's God who can do the same thing in our lives if we are truly desiring to serve and obey him. That's the only thing. We've got a desire in our hearts to serve and obey God, all right? And walk whichever way he says to walk. It's usually straight ahead. It's not round too difficult. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 reminds us of God's intimate involvement in the circumstances of the lives of Christians who joyfully commit themselves to him and who faithfully serve him according to his word. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hey, remember I was just talking about Andrew Lewis? That's the scripture I use for him. Just serve God and walk with God. And it's the same scripture I told to David though, when David didn't know what's going on. What's God doing in my life? Hey, what does it say there? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. People say to me, or they've said to me a long time ago, where's God leading you, Huey? I don't know. I really do not know. So haven't you got any goals? No. I'm just going to serve God each day and see where he leads. Amen. Just obey him. Commit yourself to the Lord and he, hey, what does he say? He shall direct our paths. In verse 5 and 6 of our opening passage of scripture tonight, we see that God also used Silas and Timothy to encourage Paul by providing him with ministerial support in the midst of a difficult time in his ministry. Knowing that his fellow helpers were now with him and knowing that his ministry to others was having a positive impact, the Apostle Paul was pressed in the Spirit to continue to preach the gospel and testify about the Lord. If we are truly walking with the Lord, the personal influence that we can have on the spiritual life of another Christian can be enormous. Amen? We can be an encouragement to other people. Encouragement is something that we all need, but it's also something we can and should be to others. We're not here to just suck it up, all right? Sponges, all right? We need to be giving it out too. Be an encouragement to people. Let's close with Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Listen to what it says. Don't worry about turning there. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labour. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. It's good to have mates, you see. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. All right? We need other people in our lives. No such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian riding around on the hillside all on your own, all right? We're part of a church. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Get into church. Be an encouragement to others and get encouraged by them. God wants us to be encouraged, but he also wants to use us to be encouragement to others as well. Amen? Is that right? You can say yes. It's not a Catholic church. It's not a Pentecostal church either. But you can say amen, all right? That's what we need to be. We need to be an encouragement to others. We get encouraged by coming to church and coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and we're an encouragement to others. I'm discouraged that Andy's not here tonight. You know what I mean? So if you all didn't turn up, I'd be really discouraged. But you encouraged me by coming tonight. Amen? That's how it worked. Who wants to pray? Brother Stan, seeing as how you're going away on Saturday, how about you close our meeting? Thanks, mate. Do us the honour. Thank you.